Well, John 14, let me read this, John 14, 21 from the King James and then the Amplified. John 14 from the King James and the Amplified says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Now, the Amplified, of course, it amplifies it. It's simple, right? It's very profound. But the Amplified, starting in verse 15 of that chapter, it says, "If you really love me, you will keep, obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you. Just a little while now, and the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Verse 21, "The person who has my commands, keeps them, and keeps them, is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him." That's pretty strong. So a lot of people, you know, when they talk about the glory of God, and of course, you know, you may have some familiarity with the Bible stories of how God led the Israelites out of the desert and so forth, and they were led by what? They were led by signs, and they were led by a pillar of fire and pillar of a cloud. So these were demonstrations or signs or visible signs, but we're not to seek visible signs. We're to do what? 2 Corinthians 5:7. We're to do what? Walk by faith. And not by what? Signs. So we're not to seek after and be led by physical signs. We're to walk by what? Faith. So they were not born again. They were not redeemed. God didn't live in them, so he had to work to lead them in the way that he could, right? He still loved them and cared for them, but he didn't live in them. So here, this says here, if we do what? If we keep his commandments, then we do what? Love him. Or the Amplified says, we really love him. So that really means if you don't love him, you won't keep his commandments. That's pretty straight up, isn't it? If you don't love him, you don't keep his commandments. What is that? What are his commandments? John 13, 34 and 35. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you what? That you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Verse 35, "By this shall all men do what? Know that ye are my disciples, if you what? If you have love one to another." So this demonstration of love one for another is going to do what? Convince the world. Not your preaching, not your all the stuff that we think matters. It's love that is going to do what? Impact the world. It's going to impact those that don't know him. They're going to see the love of God demonstrated. And that's why I took the time in one of the lessons here, and maybe I'll just do it again here for the sake of sharing it, was the one of the prophecies at the actual dedication service here of this ministry that Brother Copeland, when he was here, gave a prophecy or a prophetic word. And one of the things that he said here, let me just get there for a moment, because I'm just flipping over here. Oh, that's not it. Sorry about that. Yeah, here it is. He said, and you're going to get a revelation. I'm just pulling a few things that he said out here. He said, you're going to get a revelation in this church of the unity of the body of Christ that very few walked in. And you're going to carry it, and you're going to walk in it, and people are going to call you all kinds of funny things, meaning because you're embracing maybe people that don't think like you, even though they're Christians. See, or don't believe the same things. Do they believe in Jesus? Do they believe he was raised from the dead? Doctrinally, it doesn't say if we all believe the same thing. It says if we have love one for another, unity in the body of Christ is going to be the thing. Let me stop and say this. Let's turn over here for a moment. I'm just thinking of this scripture here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, 12, and 13. This is one thing that the devil fights the hardest, is keeping churches separated over doctrine. I don't believe that. What did the scripture say? Summer of Paul, summer of Apollos, right? And they were fussing back then. But Ephesians chapter 4, and it says, and he gave some, what, apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of what? The body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. See? And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, or you could say mature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So when we talk about the manifest, when he talks about making himself real or plain to us, and he's talking about the glory of God, as the body of Christ comes into unity, then the glory of God will be manifested in a greater measure through the body because what? Of love. Because as we operate in love one to another, it said, all men will know that you're my disciples. Right now, sometimes they think church is a big joke because they don't see love one for another. I'm not saying that's, you know, so all the time, but I believe it's changing. I see God working in the hearts of people, and we're reaching out to one another. And this is also some other things he said in here. He said, I'm going to shine all over this nation from this place. He was talking about here. And then he also said, for my love is the light that will draw people. That's what's going to draw people, the love of God. And then he also said some other things here. He said, this is the purpose of the Spirit in raising this place up. He was talking about here, bringing about a foundation that's laid on a rock and laid deep, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And he said, and my mighty power and my mighty Spirit will flow in this place in proportions that up until now have only been the wildest, fondest dreams all found in the corners of people's thinking. And he said, but I'm going to bring it to pass, saith God. He's going to bring it to pass. And so what do we have to do? Believe. And I also like this. He said, for when they come in this place, and when they set foot on this ground, they'll know that they're in a holy place. So God is going to work here in this place if we believe him, if we operate in love. And that's one of the things that he shared. Let me just share this here. If I can find it here in this, just bear with me here in this prophecy. Yeah. And he said, but I'm going to bring this to pass, saith God. And this is what he said. If you will walk upright before me, keep this place pure, keep it pure on the word, keep it pure financially, and keep it pure sexually, I will cause this place to shine so bright with the same light that caused the Saul of Tarsus to fall on his face and say, what is it, Lord? So there's some things we have to do and continue to do, and we've been doing that through the years, doing those things. So as we obey his commandments and we walk in love and operate in love towards one another, that God will begin to manifest himself to us and through us, manifest the glory of God. And really that word manifest in the Greek, it just means to disclose or to declare or make known. It means to appear, to manifest. So he'll do that if we do what we're supposed to do, meaning it's what? Conditional. Now let's take a look again. We've been looking at these scriptures, John 11. Let's look at this. This is the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And John 11, 40. And you can back up in verse 39. They've come to the cave that he was laid in. He'd been there 4 days, I guess. And verse 39, it says, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And I want to expand on that again a little bit tonight. We were talking, sharing Sunday, that if we believe, then we shall see the glory of God. What did he say here to Martha? He said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. So did she see sparks and fire and a cloud? Did she see any of that? No, she saw what? A dead man come to life. What did Jesus say? I am the resurrection and the life. So that resurrection life came into that body and raised that dead body from the dead, right? Raised him from the dead. So they saw the glory of God. What? In the works of God. That's what I want to focus on tonight. So they saw the glory of God in his works. And that gave God glory. So we can see here that when we see a manifestation of the glory of God, what are we seeing it in? We're seeing it in somebody getting saved. We see it in somebody being delivered from whatever kind of issue. We see somebody being healed or raised from the dead. We're seeing the manifestation of the glory of God. If we see somebody who was poor and now is prosperous, we're seeing what? A manifestation of the glory of God. You see somebody that doesn't know what to do and they get insight from God on how to do something. They ask God for wisdom on what to do, right? You didn't know what to do. You're seeing a manifestation of the glory of God. Why? Because we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. So we're to do what? Expect that when we believe God, He's going to do something on our behalf. Not, gee, I sure hope it does. When it doesn't look like something's going to come to pass or happen, faith does what? It's convinced. It still believes. It's believing. I believe it's happening. How many have been there? I have. Every time I get up in this pulpit, I believe God for His manifested presence to work through you, work through me, to think through me. You know, you put notes together, but you're not that bright. You put some things together, you have some thoughts, you trust in God as you're putting it together, but then as you're teaching, thoughts come. What is that? Oh, that's light. That's His glory beginning to do what? Think through you, operate through you. And it's not just me. You bring your faith together and you're believing God for something to hear. So as we all join our faith together, the presence of God begins to manifest. How? Through Him working through us, working through me and you. Hallelujah. So the works of God glorify God. So one thing, and I always, you know, some of the things that, reason I share them is because they're profound to me. Brother Hagin shared through his ministry, he shared, sometimes he said, beware, this is the way he said it, beware that we seek the spectacular and we'll miss the supernatural. He said, you're seeking something spectacular, and right under your nose, you're missing the supernatural. God operating supernaturally in your life. And here's the thing. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I have, as we grow spiritually, sometimes we look back and we go, oh, that was God working in my life. And I looked right over it. I ignored it, right? Because what? You were looking for something visible. You were looking for something in the natural, spectacular, a change, and He's working there all the time, and you just looked right past it. And God was working there all the time. Something what? Spectacular. I mean, supernatural, excuse me. So sometimes we need to just beware. We walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Turn over here in that same thought. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. Look at Abraham. I mean, when you think about it, when you go over and you look at the account of this in Genesis, even his son said, we have the wood, we have the fire, where's the sacrifice? So he's looking in the natural, right? What did Abraham say? God will provide. He'll provide. So still in faith. Still in faith. But look at verse 20. It said here, he staggered not at what? The promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, doing what? Giving glory to God. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So in other words, when we get to the end of what looks like our rope here, and we've done everything we know to do, he said what? We're not going to stagger at the promise of God, but we're going to be what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let's go back again to John. This time, let's go to John 17. John 17. And starting in verse 1. John 17. wait a moment for everybody to get there. I know these electronic things don't move as fast as paper. And I like electronic. But sometimes people are going click, 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 click. Oh, I lost my connection. So verse 1, it said, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. There's an interesting thought here. Does he want to be, he'll be glorified. Does he want to glorify himself in us? He did with Jesus, right? Does he want to glorify himself through us? Yes. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now look here, verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. What did he say? I've glorified thee on the earth. Who's he talking to? He's talking about his Father. What did he say? I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. How was the Father glorified? He finished the work. Or you could say he obeyed his commandments. He was given the work. He finished the work that he was given to do. That glorified the Father. So we could say the works of God glorify God. So the works that he said, what did he say? The works that you gave me to do, I've done them. I've completed them. And they, and that did what? That glorified God. So the works of God glorify God. Isn't that true? The works of God glorify God. Say that. The works of God glorify God. Hallelujah. They glorify God. Think about it. Just stop and think about this. We no longer serve the devil, but do the works of the devil glorify him? No. Do the works of the devil glorify the devil? Don't be slow. The works of the devil glorify the devil. Is that not true? If you don't think so, well, we don't serve him anymore. But the works of God glorify him. Glorify God. And the works of the devil glorify him. So the works that are given glorify the one that gave them. The works that are given glorify the one that gave them. Right? I mean, you think about it. You give commands to the people that are under you. What did the centurion say? Lord, you just speak the word only, and it'll be done. He said, I'm a man under authority. I know if I tell this one do this, they do it. Who did it glorify? Who did it ultimately? That person, right? They were the one who was in authority. They did what? They obeyed the commands. And so it's the same thing here in this earth. That when you give commands, think about it. When your children do what you say, who does it point back to? Some of you say, I don't even know them. I don't want to know them. I'm not related to them. Right? But you all laugh, but it's true, right? So the works of your offspring and obeying glorify the one that gave birth to them. It glorifies them. So So it's no different with God. When we obey Him, it glorifies Him. And that's what we have to keep in mind, that this is no longer I that live, but it's He that liveth in me. I'm to do what? Submit to His will, obey Him. And when I do, it glorifies Him. That's why, you know, when you think about this, and I'm just use Donovan as an example because I see him here, but when he said Sunday, yeah, I got this award, but I'm always asking God every day for wisdom to know what to do. Well, when wisdom comes and he excels in natural things, who gets the glory? God does. And we should not take the glory because we weren't smart enough to get the wisdom to achieve. So we should not take the glory. I mean, sinners do that. They say, on the award show, I just want to give God all the glory. Really? And you half dressed with nothing on? And I'm going to give God the glory, and you're singing words and songs that are goofy. I'm just going to give God the glory. No, I don't think so. God is saying, if you obey me and my commands, then he said, I'll reveal myself to you. Right? So we need to parse through these things that people say. And for all of us, when we excel and we get a victory, that we make sure, just like Jesus, think about Jesus' ministry. He never took the credit, ever. He never said, oh yeah, see what I did? Look at all these people that were delivered. Look at all these people that were healed. He never took the credit. He always said, it was the Father that did the work. I only did those things that my Father showed me or told me what to do. He never took the credit. He never pointed the spotlight on himself. And that we should do ourselves. So if we excel or achieve in something that God has given us wisdom in and insight and talents, don't take the credit. Give Him the credit. Give Him the glory. Hallelujah. And what did it say? It said in John again, John 11:40, if thou wouldest what? Believe, we should see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Think about, you're right there in John 17. Turn over to John 20. John 20. At the end of that chapter, look what Jesus is saying to Thomas. In verse 29, John 20 and verse 29, he said, Jesus saith unto him, or Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So for us, we believe not because we see, but because we haven't seen, we believe because God has spoken to us in His Word, and we take that and accept it and obey it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at, just for a few minutes, let's take a look at something here in John chapter 2. And let's look at this account here at the marriage in Canaan of Galilee. You know, as many times as I've read this, I didn't see this verse. I don't know about you, maybe you did, but I didn't. Talking about the glory of God. And we're talking about the glory of God manifested. But look at, and you know what happened here, that Jesus turned water into wine. So here, you could say this was a provisional need. They needed something, right? There was a provision that was needed, and it was met. So is God concerned or interested in meeting provisional needs? Absolutely. But look at verse 11. It said, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his" what? "His glory. And his disciples believed on him." So this here, a provisional need was met. It was a miracle. Did they see a cloud or fire or sparks or anything? No. But they saw, it said, it was a manifestation of his glory. Boy, that's exciting. I never saw that. You know how many times I've read this? I didn't see it. So here, this provisional need, this is what we've been saying. When a provisional need is met, when a healing is accomplished, it is a manifestation of the glory of God. That's what this is saying right here. It's a manifestation. What happened what did Jesus say? If you will believe, said to Martha, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. That dead body was raised. And so what happens here? Isn't this interesting? This said here that and manifested forth his glory and what? And his disciples believed on him. So when God begins to operate in us and through us, it affects and impacts who? People. That's why when it says, when the love of God operates through us, I'm talking about the love of God, it is a manifestation of his glory. Because what? It says, "And all men shall know that you're my disciples." They'll begin to believe because of this glory, this love that operates through us. And it's the same thing here. They began to see in this miracle the glory of God, and they believed on him. And so when we begin to let God operate through us, when we let his wisdom operate through us, when we lay hands on the sick, when we help people, when we pray with people and prayers are answered, it's a manifestation of the glory of God. And what happens? People begin to believe on him. This is why the devil fights so hard. He don't want people to believe on him. So he tells people, "Oh, no, that stuff, that don't work today. That don't work today." Yes, it does, because he doesn't want people to believe and to do what? See him in operation. He doesn't want people to see the glory of God or the goodness of God, you could say it, right? What does the scripture say in Romans? I believe it's chapter 4 or 2. I'll read it to you. Or you can turn over there. Romans chapter 2. And verse 4. See, there's people today that despise the healing, and they despise certain things where God has paid for them through his shed blood. But look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. I'm going to read this from the King James. It says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to" what? "Repentance." So when people begin to see the goodness of God operating in their lives and other people's lives, it leadeth them to what? Repentance. They begin to see the glory of God, the goodness of God. And that's why it's so important that we trust God and we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. We believe God for things because it will display the goodness of God. That's why I always like what Brother Hagin used to say. He used to say, I'd rather set my goals high and get the half of them than set them to nothing and get all of them. So set your goals high. Set your sights high where God is concerned. It's better to get half of them than don't reach out and you get all of them. Nothing. Right? Because our victories impact people. They begin to see the goodness of God operating in your life. Why are you so blessed? Why are you so peaceful? Why this? Why that? Why are these things happening in your life? They begin to see it in your life, and who does it glorify? It glorifies God. That's who it glorifies. Yes, it impacts our life. We're not to take the glory. We didn't do it. Right? What did Jesus say in John 10:10? He said, the thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that what? They may have life and have it more abundantly. Right? So this goodness of God, the abundance of God, reflects Him. And people are not going to know that unless they see that in us and through us. It's the goodness of God. Hallelujah. What does God leave you? One scripture, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need, what? According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God gets the glory. So what are we saying? It's the works of God that give glory to God. It's His works, Him working through us, that gives Him glory, that points to Him. And we need never forget that. Wherever we're going, wherever, you know, path you're in life you are, whatever people you interact with, let the glory of God be seen in you, and God will take your life. Don't try to compare your life with somebody else's life, what's happening in somebody else's life. God is going to use you right where you are and interacting with the people that you interact with, and He will use that. I mean, just for some of the most unusual things that you go, I never thought they saw that in me. But He'll use that to do what? Reveal His glory to people through you. And so sometimes let's just follow Him, obey Him, and He'll get the glory. So it's, let's say that again, the works of God glorify God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The works of God glorify God. Amen.